Thanks, Owen. New figures reveal that over 740 women in Ireland are currently on waiting lists for endometriosis surgery, with almost one in four waiting between 3 and 6 months. For many women, it means chronic pain and a long struggle for treatment. Joining me on the line is the chair of the Endometriosis Association of Ireland, Damien Donoghue, and Narromore resident, Roisin Howe, who is currently in Romania and has just undergone her second endometriosis surgery. Good morning to you both, and thank you for joining us.
Morning.
Damien, if I could go to you first, what is endometriosis and how many women are impacted by it in Ireland?
Hi, thanks for having us on again. Endometriosis is a whole body inflammatory condition, quite often mistaken as just a gynecological condition. It's where tissue similar to the lining of the womb grows in other areas, so it can impact your bladder, your bowel, your thoracic cavity, and it is quite debilitating and has effects from the chronic debilitating pain to, infertility, to just name some of the consequences. And it's quite often misdiagnosed and missed for years and years and years, with, women waiting up to 7 or 8 years to actually get confirmed diagnosis.
And Damien, just there when you say confirmed diagnosis, like typically how is the disease diagnosed?
Laparoscopically is the gold standard, but there are other ways and means in terms of with the proper diagnostic tools with radiologists that are actually skilled in reading MRIs. And in some cases for ultrasounds, they can pick that up, but it's having the right skilled clinicians to pick these things up. So it is incredibly difficult to diagnose, but in other regions and in other centres, it can be done once you follow certain protocols. So while it is difficult, if you're not skilled in it, of course, it's going to be even more difficult, you know.
So that's something, and I might come back to that when you say those specific skills. But figures obtained by RTE News showed that more than 500 women had travelled to 3 specialist endometriosis clinics in Romania, Spain and the UK over the last 3 years for treatment. And one of them is Roisin Howe from Narromore, who is currently in Bucharest. Roisin, you only had surgery last Friday. It's very big. It's a complex surgery. How are you feeling?
Hi. To be honest with you now, I'm obviously in a severe amount of pain. It's all very overwhelming and I'm just kind of processing my diagnosis that I've got over here recently. So it's been a lot, but I just keep on telling myself it should get better, it will get better, to just keep on motivating myself through the pain.
And Roisin, like, firstly, thank you for coming on air with us. But, you know, if you can share your story, like how you have ended up in Romania instead of a hospital in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So my original story would have started when I was 16, which was 11 years ago, when I went into my GP and I was presenting with my periods were lasting for a very long time, like 27 days. And my GP kind of just said, look, you're lucky enough to get a period. Not everyone does. So, 16-year-old me was just like, okay, well, they know the best. So I just kind of went on with life, as most women with endometriosis are made do. And it was really in my late 20s when my symptoms of endometriosis really started to become like red flags and like debilitating pain. So I had a laparoscopic surgery last October in Ireland, where I got my official diagnosis of endometriosis. It was in my pelvic walls, around my bowel, and around like my ovaries. And so I got my diagnosis, and then I was still in severe pain, like still had the same symptoms. So I went back to my consultant that's done the surgery, and he informed me there's nothing to worry about. Endometriosis is gone. Like endometriosis is not causing your pain, and then sent me on to a pain specialist. So I went down that route and I had nerve blocks. I had lidocaine infusions. I was on the route to getting ketamine infusions. And I was in such debilitating pain to the point where it really affected my mental health. And I was like, I cannot live with this pain. As any woman or any person who lives with severe nerve pain every single day, it would lead you to like contemplating what is the point in staying alive, what is the point in keep going. But I had a conversation with my mom and dad, and I heard about Romania and I considered going over for a consultation. So I had an MRI here done in Ireland. I came back here, which is very common here in Ireland. So I was like, right, okay, I have no other option. I have to go to Romania. I'm still in severe debilitating pain. I'm still presenting with the same symptoms. I'm getting no further here. So I went to Romania, had a scan done 4 weeks on from the MRI here that I had in Ireland, and my pelvis was full of endometriosis. So I then booked for surgery, which was last Friday. And I had my surgery, and I had to have 4 nerves decompressed in each of my legs. I had to have my veins decompressed. I had to have arteries decompressed. I had to have endometriosis removed from my bowel, from my ovaries, and it was scattered everywhere. My endometriosis had clumped my nerves together in my legs, which had caused me and was the reason for me being in severe pain. And I'm now obviously in recovery from that surgery, but I also just want to say that I presented to the doctors in Ireland saying, I think that my endometriosis has grown onto my nerves because the symptoms align directly to what I'm experiencing. And it was completely just bluntly ignored. So it was like, there's no way your endometriosis is removed in your laparoscopic surgery in 2024, so it's not endometriosis. And here I am, September 2025, after having a serious extensive surgery, removing a very, very, very large amount of endometriosis off the nerve in my body.
Like, Roisin, what you've described there and what you've had to live with sounds just horrendous. And what you described as well, the MRI that was in Ireland and a 4 week span of a clear MRI, like, I'm not a doctor, but in 4 weeks, how could things have grown? Like, so it didn't just grow overnight. So, Damien, just to bring you in there, like, is this something that you're seeing? Like, is this what we're talking about, that these MRIs, these radiologists, that we need these specialists, that we can stop the likes of Roisin having to go to another country to have major surgery?
Sure. And firstly, and thanks, Roisin, for sharing your story. It's an all too common story. And it's also, you know, indicative of the community, the strength of the women that want to speak out and try and improve things, because that sounds like similar situations that I've spoken to hundreds of women that have gone through the same process. So it's not a one-off, which would be kind of what people would make you believe in some instances, or you're too young to be presenting these symptoms. We have one centre, but it can't be publicised because we don't have a framework. So the system doesn't work. GPs don't know what to do. Therefore, they're kind of powerless to direct. So you're kind of just, you have to be your own best advocate in this space, as Roisin has proven here. And that's wrong in this day and age. You know, we require a robust health service that's going to look after our women. And it's just showing that we don't care about women's health. You know, we have other jurisdictions that do it very well. So the scan is a scan. What is quite often the case here, that scan can be read. You can have your scan here and it can be read in another jurisdiction. So that is what is happening for quite a lot of women, to try and expedite their care. So it's nothing to do with the scan. It's the person reading it and the training that's required.
So,
and
Damien, what needs to happen now?
They need to train the doctors to that standard. It's quite simple that there's a lack and a gap of resources in this space. We have one centre that we can speak of, and the rest is, you know, it's just people put their trust in the doctors, but the doctors don't have the relevant or the requisite skills to help them. So unnecessary surgeries, as was the case for Roisin, you know, you'll go in and you'll diagnose it, but they won't go any further because they don't have the requisite skill. So we need multiple skilled surgical sites like what is in Tala, where it's a multidisciplinary approach. But that's a breaking point. And you name the figures at the start, which actually don't really relate to anything because we haven't captured any data. We estimate, with the best modelling, it's 300,000 women affected and close on 30,000 with this complex type endo that will require the surgery. So I think when we talk about people waiting 3 or 4 months. It's just picking figures out of the sky. Yeah. It's a huge problem, a huge, huge problem. And even in terms of the numbers that were gathered for who's traveling abroad, it's multiples of that, because that's only naming 3 or 4 centres. And we should not be exporting our problems. And following on from that, and I'm sorry to labour, but when you do go abroad, and this is the challenge we hear from quite a lot of women, it's the aftercare. You get your surgery in another jurisdiction. I'm clinical by background. There's huge risk with travelling after surgery and then actually having that aftercare, because, you know, where do you go? Because they're back to the original doctors that weren't believing you. Mm-hmm. So it's a minefield. So we need to increase the education of our clinicians. We need to also improve our menstrual education curriculum, because people need to identify at an early age that, okay, this period is not normal. So there's a few easy things that can be delivered quite quickly, as well as trying to upskill these doctors. That will take time. We also need to increase the easy access to cross-border funding, which is a minefield also for people. People are going into massive debt to go and get the life-changing surgery that they require. So it's there is a few things that can be done immediately, but there's a few things that are longer term.
Well, there certainly does seem, and I know Roisin, I think I'd seen on one of your TikTok reels, like over €15,000 is what you've had to pay for this surgery. Roisin, you have been so brave in sharing your story. If Minister Carol McNeill was listening, what would you say to her?
I would say to her that, whilst I had my surgery here last week, there was 4 other Irish women in the same week getting the same surgery done. So needs to maybe have a recheck on the amount of women travelling abroad for surgery. 2, I would say, we have the answers. We live with the pain. We know the cracks in the system. We can work with you. And 2, this ideology that the doctors are not educated enough on endometriosis, that is 100% true. But what can be worked on is the attitude that you receive from the doctors when you approach them saying, I have these symptoms, I'm in severe pain, and not to be gassed and not to be just told to, go home with a water bottle, to actually say, okay, well, this woman is diagnosed with endometriosis, this is an actual condition, everybody knows that, so let's just treat her for her pain instead of just completely stonewalling her. And I just think it's time for change now. You know, we live in 2025. It's absolutely ridiculous that we have to travel abroad. I am a very positive person, so I hope for the best.
No, Roisin, and you're right, it's 2025, and this is not what we should be talking about in 2025. We are failing our women. There is work that has to be done in this area. On behalf of the Kildare Today team, I just want to wish you well in your recovery and safe travels home. I think it's a topic we're going to have to revisit, and for more information on the disease, visit endometriosis.ie. That was Damien Donoghue from the Association of Endometriosis Ireland and Roisin Howe from Narramore speaking from Bucharest. Thank you both for joining us.
Listen.